Welcome to The Grow Show. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. Here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey folks, how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, my name is Gary Jones, and today I am joined by someone who I've worked with on many different projects over the last few years, and it's been incredible and amazing to see his journey from where he was when I first met him 3-4 years ago to where he is now. He spoke at both Grow Live 2020 and Grow Live 2021. He's just spoke in at an in-person event all about his chosen topic, which you'll hear about in a second, at the weekend. And do you know what? He's a bloody nice guy, and I've just got full of admiration and love for him. So, Simon, Clements, how are you doing? You're right.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for that intro. That was a lovely intro. Lovely way to start my Wednesday morning.
Do you know what? I had the same feeling when I woke up today. I woke up and thought, 10 o'clock, I'm going to be talking to Simon. That's it. Job done.
What more could you ask for,
right? That's it. So, for the people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about you and your business and how you help people.
Okay, yeah, my name is Simon Clements. I am a visual brand designer and also just a creative designer for all aspects. And I'll come on to that in a minute, because what I do is I split my business into two parts. It's building those brands, it's laying those foundations, it's building the visual assets. Once we've got your brand sorted, we then move on to branding the rest of your business, which is all your marketing assets and all these tools and things that we can put together to speak to your clients and to get your message across and get them where you want them to be. I've been doing it I was in the industry since 2003, so it's coming up to next year, it'll be 20 years.
That's a biggie.
Yeah, it is a biggie. I worked for Cadbury in Birmingham in 2003. There for 4.5 years, had to leave for health reasons, but it was one of the best things I did, and that's no disrespect to Cadbury. They gave me a lot of opportunities, but to allow me for personal growth and for getting across the messages that I want to get across, it's been the best thing that I've ever done. I won't go into it too much more because I'm sure we'll be covering some bits today chatting. But yeah, as you mentioned in the intro, if anyone's got any questions, etc., just give me a shout.
Aces. And just to kind of kick things off, was it 3 years ago we met? Time's kind of gone a bit skew-whipped over the last couple of years, but I think it was 3 years ago we kind of met, December 2018, I think it was.
Do you know why? I remember that. I think we met then. I remember the first time that I actually met up with you, it was in... I think it was January 2020, just where everything kicked off. And I remember meeting you in that coffee shop in Leamington.
That's the one.
Yeah, and it was just nice. We kind of, as we usually do when we start talking, it just flowed and it just went on, and we just talked about ideas and you were talking about what you had planned for future. And yeah, I've seen your journey and how far you've come and how you're going. It's lovely to see. I think you touched upon it in the intro. Since the last time we spoke on the last Grow podcast, you know, things have happened for me, things have developed further, you know, I've developed further as a person, and that doesn't just benefit me, that benefits my clients and how I can help them as well.
Yeah, I'm very, very true. And it's one of those things, so most conversations I have on the Grow Show, it does have links to personal development. There's a lot of personal development to chat about it, because obviously, and kind of as the name suggests, is, you know, if you grow yourself, you can grow your business and your community. Yeah. It benefits everyone else, but also it will benefit your clients as well, because you constantly be testing out different stuff. So we are in a different place to where we were 3 years ago, completely. So you mentioned that you're a visual brand architect and that you create brands for different people. A lot of people are going to start off with a question is why, you know, some of the most common questions you probably get, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is why the hell do I need a brand? You know, what is a brand? That kind of jazz. So have you got a brief synopsis of all that you can sum up really kind of nicely and succinct for the people who have no idea what a brand actually is and why they need it?
Absolutely. Well, I'm not going to go into a full presentation today because time is short, but obviously condensed version. I've seen people out there that, you know, say, oh, there's no real definition for branding and stuff like that, which I don't actually agree with. I think the origins of branding goes back to, you know, cattle and branding the cattle. And the reason they do that is one simple word, and it's the reason why branding exists, and that's identity. How you then take that identity, many people just think it's the visual aspects, you know, your logo, your color palette, your fonts, the way you appear online. Don't get me wrong, that's a massive part of it. That's probably my specialist area. But it's also about the identity that you have behind the scenes, how you have, you know, your ethics, your way you position yourself, your market that you lead towards, what you're all about, your ethos, everything to do with that. So in answer to your question, Gary, why people need it, if you haven't got an identity, you've got nothing to hold on to for yourself as well, because it's obviously really, it's important to your clients. It needs to speak to your clients. It needs to speak to prospective clients to bring them in, but it also needs to speak to you. You need to feel it. You need to live your brand so that it motivates you, it pushes you on, it gives you pride. And I think without that, we're kind of all just wandering aimlessly. I think your brand in your marketing and keeping it all consistent allows people to build up this knowledge of us, this visual of us, this, and then therefore the trust. Because one of the things that branding does give you, amongst others, is it gives the people that are looking at your brand a perception. Now, we all want to look professional, don't we? You don't, you know, you go to some sites and you look at it and you think, oh, they might be really good at what they do, and they probably are. But if it doesn't look, if the visual eye candy, as I call it, doesn't line up, it's an instant turn off, because people don't like being confused. People like clarity. And I think one of the things that a brand done properly will do for you is it will align your knowledge, your passion, and your expertise with your visual front initially. Because obviously that's the first impression. That's what people are going to see first. And that's why that bit's so important. But the rest of it, once they see your visuals and your vision, they will dig deeper. And if they dig deeper and there's no consistency with where you're coming from, what you're all about, there's a misalignment. And that's when people usually stand away. I hope that answered the question.
Oh, completely answered the question. And I think you've actually alluded to a really good point about where actually when someone's working with someone like you, who will help them create all of those kind of assets that they've got and all aspects of a brand identity, you know, and compared to someone who, let's say, goes to somewhere to just get a logo printed because that's what they think a brand is, They are two completely different beasts. And as an end user, you will spot that because
You'll
be very surface level kind of, the people who have gone to Fiverr, or I say Fiverr because there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, that's where you can go for what.
Do you know what I always say about Fiverr? And this is something that comes up, because I always talk about the elephant in the room, and there's two elephants in the room. One is Canva and one is Fiverr. Now, I'll just touch on these briefly. Canva is a fantastic tool to allow everyone to get access to creating their own graphics.
Yep.
I love it. I don't use it, obviously, myself, but I love the benefits of it. I love what it's about. The problem lies, for me, twofold, is one, when you see professional designers that if they're using Canva, like anything like that, it's not meant for design professionals. It's kind of, you can make a living out of it, and anyone that does, you know, absolute respect to them. But I think it kind of has a cap. And I think, you know, if you're saying, I help you learn Canva, that's different. If you're saying you design on Canva, and again, it comes down to identity, because some of the stuff, and again, not all of it, but speaking from experience, a lot of it looks very similar. And therefore, if you all look similar, you've got no identity, you're not standing out from the crowd.
True.
In terms of Fiverr, very similar. There are some fantastic people on Fiverr. There really are, but it's a very small percentage. And turning that back to what you said about getting a logo worked up, the problem is, if you just get a logo worked up and there's no thinking behind it, it's just something just put out there, it's got no identity. There's no this connection with it. So people will see your logo and then they'll look at something else and go, oh, okay, that looks a bit. Or one exercise I do is I also talk about brand balance.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like some scales. On one end of the scales, you've got, you know, typically, and I'll say typically because it's not all, is if you go to somewhere like Fiverr or, you know, et cetera, to get your logo and that, it's very much a product that people buy, and design shouldn't be a product. So you go to them. I always use the example of an accountant. You know, if you're an accountant, you go to Fiverr, you give up, you say, oh, I'm an accountant. They go away. They take minimum information. They go away. They build you a logo. You'll probably get a couple of options, usually different colors and fonts, but not actually looking at structural options. And it's basically you pick one, you pay them the money, you go your separate ways. So that's one end. And the thing is, if you're doing that, a lot of other people will be doing that because of the price point. So therefore, you're losing your identity because everyone looks the same. On the other end of the scale, you've got the disruption, you know, thinking, oh, I want to be so different, you know, an accountant. Oh, no, let's use neon orange. Let's use some really funky fonts. Let's use, you know, lots of script fonts, etc., or futuristic or whatever it is. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you go too far away from the ethos of what you and your industry and business are all about, people aren't going to recognize you. They'll be like, okay, well, I don't know what they do. So the key is getting somewhere in between, possibly leaning slightly more towards the disruption, because we, yeah, the aim of the game is to get you to stand out, but you don't want to go too far one way or the other.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense. And on that same kind of point, you know, the world's now opening back up again. We are now going to expos and conferences. There's a number that are going on even this week as we talk, where people are kind of going to meeting people face-to-face. They've got exhibition stands. And I remember also at the weekend, might be a few weeks now when people have watched this back live, but you spoke at a conference all about this particular industry. And I'm just wondering, in terms of kind of the assets that people have at the moment compared to what they're going to need, is there a kind of a gap there? Because a lot of people have kind of spent the last couple of years purely digital, and now they're going out face-to-face, and it's a whole different kind of fish. So just let's just talk about that for a little bit and expand on that.
I mean, from a personal point of view, meeting people that you've spoke to for the last couple of years, which, let's face it, a couple of years is quite a long time, in person, is a surreal experience. It's lovely, and it was lovely to meet these people. My only negative from the event on Saturday was that I didn't have more time to chat to everyone properly. Yeah. But I think that's the same in any event. But when it comes down to what you need, one of the biggest things, and obviously, you know, your brand and your identity, that's kind of a staple for any kind of marketing. Anything you do, that needs to be in place, because it will be the core, it will be the guidance for everything else that you do. Many people get brand and branding mixed up. Obviously, your brand is the developing this identity, developing this who you are, what you do, and who you help. The branding is then successfully applying it to everything else you push out there, which is your marketing materials. People, I see this a lot, they're unclear. They order roller banners, for example. And I say to them, I say, yeah, we can do a roller banner, that's no problem. Are you doing live events? They say no. Are you going to use it as a backdrop on a live? Well, I don't do lives. In which case, you don't need one, but it's bred into us that, well, I need one of those because I need to be a business. I think you need to look at who your customers are. You need to put yourself in their shoes and see what they would want to see. See what you would want to see if you were looking elsewhere. So for your live events, the roller banners, if you're exhibiting, if you're not, you don't need one. I still think business cards have got an amazing place. You get these digital ones now, which are great. They're amazing. They make things easy. They make things simple, which, again, people like simple and clarity. But I think a business card, it's a cheap marketing product. And you've got to remember, when you're doing your marketing, you're not instantly giving someone a business card and expecting them to go, wow, you look good, let's do business. They will put that on their desk. They will put that in their wallet. They will put that in a special business card folder, wherever they put it. But your identity is now in their hands. So they might see you in a few days. They might see it in a few weeks, months, years, whenever it is. But you're going to jog their memory. And that's what we want to do. We want that brand recognition. We want them to think, okay, that's so-and-so. They do this. And that's when they come back to you. And I think, yeah, online, obviously your social presence is really good, because you've got to look at the stages of a customer journey. So if, say, for example, you're exhibiting an expo, your exhibition stand is your main focus point of that event. Roller banners, obviously, are a good, cheap option. You can get to the bigger stands if need be. But whatever it is, that's your visual presence, whether you are in front of it or not. Obviously, you live your brand, so you will therefore be in front of it. If you're there as well, you live your brand. That's why you're wearing your brand colours and, excuse me, and by talking to people, you might just think you're talking to people, but you're actually reinforcing your brand. So the stand is really useful to have as a visual aid. But once they get away from there, whether they take away a business card, whether it's electronic business card, doesn't matter. But once they find you again, things like your social platforms, I think socials are, you know, bigger than ever. Obviously, you all know Gary, but you pick the platform that's best for you and where your clients hang out. But what you do want to do is you want to have that continuity and consistency across, you know, from the point where they've seen you of the exhibition stand through to your socials, your website. So I think website, socials, brand are staples. Those are ones that you need, whether you're doing online or in person. After that, I think it's a case of, okay, well, what am I going to be doing? If I'm just doing online business, I'd probably look at video content, things like that. You can brand your, you know, like we've got here up above, you know, you've got your branded frames, you've got, you know, your videos on YouTube with start, end, etc. So you're looking at your digital assets from that point could be lead magnets, PDFs, whatever it is. Then you're not saying you can't have those if you're doing in person. I think online is one thing, but even if you do in person, online still needs to be there for that trail. But obviously when in person, you can get stuff that you need that you don't necessarily need when you're doing digital.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And there's so many good points in that. I just want to pick up on two key points.
Yeah, you carry on. I'm quite passionate about it, so I kind of just roll with it. And if people have questions, fire away.
It's all good because it goes back to one of our original points at the start of it. We met online. Well, we met online, and then we met face to face, and we haven't seen each other since that initial time. But I know that when I see you, it's not going to feel like any time's passed since.
It doesn't.
We talk to each other online. So people do need to understand that their online presence will help their face-to-face kind of relationship, because it is all about that know, like, trust cycle.
And everything's connected. Everything's connected.
Exactly. And having, you know, this, how the same branding. Yeah. Oh, come on. The same branding. I can't get my thing. It's mirrored. Get the branded there to what's on the screen. You know, it all makes a difference. You know, people will see the logo, which is just down. I need to get practiced on this. Just down there. I'm losing it. But they will see it and they will go and they will kind of match it up. And then if you give them the business card with the logo on as well, and they take that home, then they've got a piece of you at home. Sounds wrong, but it sounds.
I know what you mean.
But it's all about that brand recognition. So when they're looking for something, they will recognise you.
And that's what's so important, getting your brand done right at the beginning. Well, you know, there's a caveat to that. Yes, get it right done at the beginning. But there'll be a lot of businesses, etc., watching this who are already in business. I think it's equally as important to mention that not only should you should get it right when you start a business so that everything else can stem from that, but sometimes you need to just do a bit of an analysis in your business, and there's always time for a rebrand, and you're pretty much starting again on the visual brand side of things, not on your whole business, because like you say, you've built up this experience, this passion, this knowledge. So it's just bringing up that identity in line with your passion, knowledge and experience. One of the things I say at the minute is getting your brand done right and getting that branding done right. It's valuing that first impression that you're giving to people, because you can, you know, there's nothing more important than making that first impression. But again, a caveat to that is that I always say you need to make a good second, third, fourth, fifth, you can see where I'm going, impression. Because when people come back, if you don't look the same, or if they go to, I don't know, different social platform, it's not going to match up.
No, I get that. And another point that you made, which was fantastic, was about matching your kind of needs to your brand. So, you know, asking the questions, are you going to use Roller Banner for a live or an expo?
You know, don't need the sake of it, you know? If you don't need it, don't you get one.
No, and traditionally it is a case of, okay, well, I'm in business, so I'm going to get a Roller Banner, I'm going to get a business card.
It's like a checklist.
I might grab pens, I might grab a notepad. You know, it's all those kind of stuff. But actually, that might not be best for your audience. It might not be best for your customer. And that's kind of matching up the brand to their end needs as well.
We're kind of in this realm of like the kind of marketing assets kind of realm. And obviously, I know Jodie may be watching this because she liked the post originally. But obviously,
she's at an exhibition as we speak.
Is she? Well, there you go. But if you don't know Jodie, she does promotional gifts and stuff like that. They are wonderful tools. You know, even just a pen. I've got a pen here. It's got FLA on the front. Family Law Assistance, Stephen and Michaela Wade. Obviously, Gary, you know those guys as well. But they're on my desk. And every time I pick that up, it's in their brand colours. I know as well because I was part of building that brand. But, you know, it's always here. And my point is, they've used them effectively. I'll give you another metaphor in a minute because I'm starting to bring in some metaphors so people can understand things more. But if they were sat in a box in their office, they're not doing the job. So the way I say it is any kind of marketing. And obviously, Gary, you're in marketing as well, so you'll agree with this. But the same with branding and design is we, as experts, will be in the corner being your biggest cheerleader. I use the example of my boy. He's 5, goes to swimming lessons. He's in the pool on his own. Now, I can sit at the side and I can cheer him on, and I will do till I'm blue in the face because he's my boy. I want to give him all the love, support in the world. But at the end of that, I can't do it for him. So that's the same with any kind of marketing or design. You know, when I work with someone, I make it into an experience. So I'll be there for them, even after the project's completed, you know, if you've got any questions, etc. I can't do the work for you. So you're going to have to, I can give you the tools, I can give you the assets, but you've got to then apply them. And then going back to the pens and the merch and stuff, you know, if you're going to events, if you're going to networking meetings, if you're going to give them out and not just on the fly, strategically, I mean, pens, the cheaper merch products like pens, you could possibly get away with doing that. But if you're going for more, you know, expensive, you know, things that stand out, give you more of your identity, that match with your identity, then I think you need to be strategic who you're giving them to. So again, if they're just left on the side for people to pick up, not necessarily going to have the same impact as if you actually give it them personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, it comes back to knowing what your customers are going to want, knowing what they need, and using it in the right way. Because like we mentioned, you need to do it yourself. No one can do it for you.
No, I love that. And I'm at the point where I'm figuring out what kind of promo items I should have for Grow and Grow Radio, because that's kind of launching in September. And for me, branded headphones will be absolutely spot on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they would be perfect. But unit cost of service will be a lot more than, let's say, a pen or a notepad and all that kind of jazz. So would I be giving them out willy-nilly? No. All right. I'll be giving them.
It doesn't make business sense. And it comes back to being...
Exactly. But it's about, again, figuring out what's best for your business in terms of where your brand is, who your audience is, and then matching it right in the middle, what products and what brand and what, how, what content, what imagery, what brands, colors they want to see. And then once you've got all that, you're flying.
I think with the logo, going back to what you said before about people just thinking they need a logo, there needs to be a lot more thought in that. And the reason they need more thought is because you need to know what works. You need to know why you're doing it rather than just saying, oh, I've got a logo. It's like you see these posts on Facebook and stuff, and people get, say, oh, recommendations for a logo designer. And I get tagged in and I really appreciate it. And it's lovely. But the amount of people, there'll always be at least one, say, just go to Fiverr or just go to, you know, I see the sponsored ads come up saying, oh, logo design for 30 quid. Now, your logo is one of your most important visual assets. If you're just paying 30 quid, that's like a throwaway cost. That's what, 10 coffees in a month or whatever it is. That's not an investment. That, you know, if that's all you want, who am I to say that that's not, you know, you can get whatever you want. But I think investing in it, and this is where, you know, I do what I do and I produce brands for people. I'll say now, I'm not a brand strategist from the fact of that's all I do. My main focus is on the visual brand side of things. But also, I don't just do the logos. There is an aspect of this, you know, planning, strategic thinking, because without it, you can't build the brand. So it's all kind of the foundations of it. And I think the people that do kind of fly without doing this background work, let's say, I describe it like a tower. Imagine like building blocks. If you just go straight from the floor up and get a logo, chances are, at best, it'll wobble and cause you grief. At worst, it'll fall over completely and you'll be lost and you'll get no customers, etc. If you put the time in and build a foundation, when you do then become ready to build upwards, it's going to be a lot sturdier and it'll weather more storms. So that's my analogy that I would use for that.
I love it. I love it. And I just want to kind of give people a real life example of this. Probably 2 years ago, I went for a rebranding exercise with Simon, and I can safely say that it was one of the best rebranding exercises I've ever seen or heard, based on my experience of doing it once. But it was amazing. And it was, and what Simon did was took me through the whole process. He gave different options that I could go down, and then actually showed me how different types of logos and backdrops and all that kind of stuff would work with my brand. And we kind of finished off with kind of the logo, as you can see down on the bottom left hand side, bottom right hand side of your screen. Now, for me, I wanted a logo that I could put onto t-shirts. Just there, I'm getting better. Got getting onto t-shirts, almost on screen. But I also wanted it to be kind of white, so I could overlay it on different pictures and all that kind of stuff. So you listen to me and you listen to all my stuff that I wanted, and you did. And then from there, we've worked together on kind of Grow Live as well, which you got a logo now in that corner there. See,
I'm getting
top right. So you can see that actually, once you find a brand for me anyway, once you find a designer who really gets you, gets to understand what you're looking for, understands you, and actually asks the types of questions that Simon asks, you're onto a winner, because suddenly that brand isn't just a brand, it's you. And for most people, please correct me if I'm wrong, Simon, we are our brands at the end of the day. You know, people look at me and kind of look at me and go, that's Gary, but also he's great. I could be wrong.
No, absolutely right. I think for the only small exception for that is, you know, a bigger company that's got loads and loads of staff. But even then, they still need their identity. They still need their kind of what they're all about, etc. I think for most of us, mini micro businesses, I can't think of the terms, but, you know, up to one to five or whatever is employees, or especially if it's just us, especially after the last couple of years where most of us have been working from home. Absolutely. Yep. It is all about us. And it's up to us to embody our brand and deliver messaging and, you know, what we're made of and what we're all about on a regular occasion. And, obviously, you know, whether that's live, whether that's showing up in person, but more importantly, when you're not in the room. So your, you know, social banners, your even your actual logo identity assets, your visual assets, and, you know, that should reflect who you are. And that goes back to me saying about, you know, if you're an accountant, people don't expect to see, you know, orange and red flashes and, you know, scripty fonts. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a bit different. I encourage being a bit different because we want you to stand out. But you can go too far. You can go too far that it becomes unrecognizable what you do. So, yeah, absolutely spot on about, you know, we embody our business, or we should. And if anything, it's actually easier branding yourself, or it should be, as an individual. Because, you know, you get all your assets done, you get your identity done, and you can then live it where you haven't got control anywhere else and get them to understand the branding and you know, who, what you're about. If you have and you can, then fantastic. But obviously, when it's just you, you've only got to actually drum that into yourself. But that's a big thing about, you know, the brand process as well. And if it's all right, I've got time, I'll just, the brand process I do, if you just go and get a logo from somewhere, there's no process, you know. The process is basic. You get sent a logo. You tick or cross. If you cross it, they'll probably use another font. That's fine. My process, I ask questions at the beginning. I do create mood boards. I do research into competitors and also the theme and what people want to see. But one of the main core things that I think really works for me is I don't go straight onto the computer. I was going to say Mac. That's why I got confused. I don't go straight into that once I know what someone wants. So again, accountant, someone's accountant. Okay, I'll go on computer. Let's do something with a calculator in it. It's not what I do, but that's what kind of happens with the process that haven't got the process in place. Now I go to a sketchbook, and a sketchbook allows me to brain dump ideas. It allows me to experiment ideas in a quick and efficient manner to get them to the client and explain what I'm thinking. Because one of the biggest, you know, testimonials I get, one of the best testimonials I get is, there's two. One is that they love working with me because they love the process and they love being kind of helped through it, because it should be a process and an experience, not just a product. But the other one is that they say none of my logos look the same. And there's a reason for that, because there's no ego attached, because it's not about me. I will bring my expertise and my creative thinking and my creative skills and stuff like that to the table, but I can't be you, and it's your business. It's your passion and expertise, as I mentioned before. So I'm here to help you as part of your extended team, to help guide you through the process. And I think when you work collaboratively like that, that's when you get the best results, not just the best results, but the ones that actually are needed and will move you forward.
That's so important, that kind of idea. And I've seen many of your designs, and they don't look the same. They don't look the same. They've each got their individual character, each individual personality. And as you said,
it should be. It's not about me. There's no ego. You know, I'm just here to help, you know, and bring people that work with me. I'm a genuinely humble, transparent guy, as you know. Mm-hmm. I appreciate them trusting me to build their brand for them. But at the same time as well, I don't want anyone to expect that they just come to me, I go away and just do it for them.
Yeah,
I could do that. But to me, that takes out the personality of who it's for. And that's why none of the logos look the same, because they're not about me.
That's true. But talking about you and talking about your business, what does the next 12 months kind of look like for you? What have you got on the cards?
Well, obviously, as you mentioned, I spoke at an event on Saturday. It was like a mastermind event in person at the NEC in Birmingham, in the hotel there. So it was a lovely day, a lovely event. It was just speaking to a community of coaches, therapists and businesses all about their marketing. So I'm planning to do more of that. There'll be more content from me. I think a big one for me as well is my website is currently being developed because I'm currently rebranding now. So even I can rebrand, you know. You've got to look at where you are and if you're aligning with who you are and who you want to attract. And if it doesn't align, then you probably need a rebrand. So I'm rebranding myself. My website's going to be up and live. Lots of examples, lots of case studies, lots of information about me and my process. Because at the minute, I'm a massive introvert. I've always been an introvert, but at the minute, I'm not shouting about myself, excuse me, as much as I should be. I've had my backside kicked a couple of times, you know, even though I'm a massive introvert and I don't share about myself, that helps me because, again, it's the ego thing. It allows me to help my clients share about themselves, which I'm very good at, just not necessarily taking my own advice. So the website's coming soon. Speaking at more events, more content, more blogs, and there'll be a blog as part of the website. Yeah, as I say, the rebrand for myself, obviously, I've got a podcast, which obviously you know about. Mm-hmm. I'll release the first few episodes. The rest of them are edited. I need to just get those out there. But again, it's something I love doing because I'm talking to people about, and there's only one guest out of 15 shows who actually is in the brand industry. And that's a friend of mine who went to college with. So that was kind of a reminisce, but also kind of sharing lessons around brand and design. But the others are business owners. And the idea for me doing it is to show people that there's loads of different aspects to a brand. Some are people, I'm talking about a brand and the effect of a great brand in their business. Some people are talking about values and mindset and that the part that plays in a brand. So yeah, that's going to be going up as well. I think the website first. Obviously, as you know, Gary, in June, we've got the Business Success Awards. And that's going to be amazing. I'm actually up for two awards, Business Success Expert of the Year, which, you know, to be called an expert is one thing, to be nominated for an award for being an expert is another thing. And the cliche goes, and it stands true here, is I'm just happy to be there. The other one is business growth. That one's, they're both super important. The business growth one for me, as you know, we had to put a bit of a spiel together about what we thought about a nomination. Mm-hmm. Whilst my business hasn't necessarily grown, as you could say, oh, it's gone from 20K to 70K, whatever, it's not actual figures, but as an example.
Yeah,
my growth has been personal. My growth has been in me, and mm-hmm. therefore allowed me to help offering and bring up confidence, bring up self-belief. And by doing that, it allows me to help everyone around me, my family, my clients, colleagues, friends. So yeah, that one's important for me. They're both important, but that one's really important because of the meaning of the personal growth. Yeah. So obviously that ceremony is on the 18th of June. Obviously I'll see you there. Really looking forward to it. And I'm presenting the award now again. Wouldn't have happened a few months ago. So that's probably short term. I've got a holiday booked in, not about work, but everyone needs to take the rest.
You do.
And recharge. So yeah, I think it's in a nutshell, next 12 months for me are all about cementing what I know I'm good at, mm-hmm. and letting everyone else know about it through the website, whether it's content, whether it's speaking. I am looking, and this might not be the next 12 months, which is why I didn't mention it before, coaching, training, an actual in-person, you know, get the basics of your brand down day. I'm looking at writing a book at some point, Branding by an Introvert, just telling my story and things that have shaped me and made me where I am in terms of helping others. So that's on the cards as well at some point. So yeah, it's exciting. I'm trying not to overwhelm myself with the amount of stuff, but you know, it's like having a creative brain, lots of ideas at once.
Yeah. And they always say that you overestimate what you can do in a year, but underestimate what you can do in 10. Yeah. And that is a perfect example of all of that stuff that you can get done. There's no reason why you couldn't do that. It's just about pacing yourself and making sure that you've got a logical space and a logical gap in your schedule to do each one, which I've got no doubt in my mind you will be able to do it. And coming from a fellow introvert as well, the reason why I started podcasting and interviewing people was my way of getting out there. I didn't really like writing. And actually, a lot of people didn't like video, especially 6-7 years ago when I started. Things have changed a little bit now, but 6-7 years ago, I didn't like video. So putting a microphone or a phone in their mouth, well, to their mouth, to do an interview was actually okay. So yeah. I completely get it. One last thought before we go, because we've been talking for 35 minutes.
I've just seen the time.
Gone, gone dead quick. But Simon, if you're going to leave one final thought with people or one thing that they must do with their brand, what would it be?
This was actually asked as a question on the panel on Saturday, and my answer is the same. Never underestimate the power of your brand and making that first impression, because having that will be like the foundation stone for everything else in your business. Obviously your marketing and everything else that follows on, but you can't market without an identity. So I think that pretty much sums up. I'll keep that one short, but yeah, that's my just because of the time. But yeah, I think my job's kind of twofold: getting those getting the brands developed, getting the marketing materials consistent, and also working with the right messaging and stuff. Because again, that's probably another topic for another day, but you've got to kind of see what people want and deliver it, structure over your message, don't overcomplicate, etc. But I think then the other side of it is the fact of education, and the education that what a brand can give you. It's not just making you look professional. Many people will say, you know, it's making it professional, it makes you look better. It does. But one of the big things for me is it speaks to you as a business owner. It will make you stand up and give you that warm, fuzzy pride feeling. Or it should. You know, you should have pride in everything you put out, whether it's just your logo, whether it's a piece of material, whether it's a video, whatever it is. You should be proud because you've built your business. You are marketing your business. So one of the biggest phrases that really bugs me is "that will do," because whilst done is better than perfect. I'm all up for that. And that's why things like Canva and stuff are amazing, because it allows people to get stuff out fast. I just think people need to realize that you're worth it. Then you should be putting out there the best possible vision of yourself that you can.
Aces. I talked about putting yourself out there in terms of putting your best visual stuff out there. Where can people find you online? You know, this is your time to shout out socials, website, and how can people connect with you?
Well, at the moment, the website is being developed. One big thing that I am doing is I'm currently trading as SC23 Creative, because I'm turning more towards what I've been doing is having me in your corner and working with me. So it's going to be reverting all back to a personal brand of Simon Clements Creative. So the website is going to be simonclementscreative.com, I believe, but I can post updates once I know that for sure. But in the meantime, if you follow me on Facebook, just my personal page, because I'm one of those that thinks, you know, my personal page, branding and servicing my clients is what I do. So therefore, I put it on my personal page. I've got a business page as well. It's currently going changes, but it's probably still under SC23 Creative. You'll find me on there. I am on Instagram, the Simon Clements. Need to get more video content done, but probably socials initially are the best way to connect for now. Or in the communities, you know, I'm in the Grow community, I'm in other communities. And then the thing is, beauty is as well, is I get as much pleasure of, I love creating the work, I love creating things for people, I love giving them that power, that passion, but I love just helping. So if anyone's got any questions, you know, I'm always happy to jump on a call, or even if it's just a message.
Love it, love it. And honestly, if you're even if you're just kind of thinking, do I need a rebrand? Have a chat with him. Have a chat with him and just find out what possibilities there are for your brand. Because only once you start the conversation can you know where actually it could go. If you're literally just sticking your silo and don't do anything with it, you're not going to grow. You're not going to go any further. So, Simon, thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure.
Been absolutely cracking, and I will put all those links that you said to those places in the description. So if you're watching or you're listening, then just check out the description. You'll be able to connect with Simon, and I'll update them as they go along as well. But for now, all I want to say is thank you so much, Simon, for coming on to the show, because that was an amazing interview. We'll get you back on again for a catch up soon.
Third time lucky, eh? Give our third time next time.
It will be indeed. And also, just before I let you go and I sign off, what's your podcast called again?
It's called Brand Club with brand architect Simon Clements.
Boom, that's it. So, Simon, thank you very much. And all I want to say for everyone now is thank you very much for joining us today on The Grow Show. This has been an absolutely fab interview with Simon Clements. Hope you got value from it. And please do us a favor and just like and subscribe if you like this content on whatever platform you're listening to or watching it. It's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the jazz along there. And if you've got any questions for Simon, put them in the comments and I'll pass them on to them. But for now, this has been The Grow Show. So thank you very much, everyone, and take care and goodbye. I'll pass for Simon on so you can say goodbye as well. Take care,
folks. Bye, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.